So speaking of bevacizumab, you were involved in some, as you have been for a long time, critical clinical trials looking at that. And at the SGO meeting, you presented a phase three, or I don't know if you were the one who presented it, but you had the paper, phase three randomized trial from the GOG, the 213 study. And then at ASCO, I see that there were more data reported on patient-reported outcomes from this trial. Can you talk about that study and what you think it means?
Yeah, the GOG-213, for those people in the audience who know me, know that that's been my baby for about 10 years, even maybe even longer. It's been a long time coming, and it's a very difficult trial to do because it's evaluating two endpoints. It's evaluating the impact of bevacizumab on paclitaxel carboplatin backbone. That's what we reported on at SGO this year and the quality of life. It's also looking at the role of secondary cytoreduction, which is another one of those highly biased, interventions that has yet to have data. So we were the first to essentially launch a randomized trial for surgery in the recurrent platinum-sensitive setting. The trial is still ongoing. We are very near to close the enrollment on the surgical arm. The chemotherapy arm is closed for some time now. And so what I reported at SGO this year was the outcome data for the Bev versus no Bev question. So the other interesting piece about this particular trial is compared to the other trials that have been done in this space with anti-angiogenesis drugs is that this trial's primary endpoint is overall survival. So as you know, the OCEANS trial showed a PFS with no OS difference with adding bevacizumab to gemcitabine and carboplatin. This trial was looking at those outcomes in platinum-sensitive patients with paclitaxel and carboplatin backbone. So essentially what we showed was that there was, as expected, there was a big PFS difference that has a ratio of about 0.6 and an improvement in that on the median of about 3 months. But what was really remarkable was that in the overall survival, we showed that there was a very nearly statistically significant improvement of about 5 months in overall survival. And the reason I say it was nearly is that the confidence interval for the 95% confidence two-tailed test was at 1.005. So P equal 0.056. So it's very, very close. And I think most of us feel that this is probably clinically meaningful. And so we'll see how this plays out. But there may be something about the taxane Bev combination in recurrent disease that's important and maybe more important than some of the other combination backbones.
What was the hazard rate for reduction in the improvement in survival?
It was about 0.8283.
And what about the secondary surgery?
So secondary surgery is still ongoing. At the time that we reported the study, we had 107 patients that had participated. One of the things that we realized was that the hazard ratio for the subgroup, this is a pre-planned subgroup of, it's actually a stratification variable, that those patients that went on to surgery actually, relative to the whole sample size, have a hazard ratio of 0.55. So these are very different patients that are going to surgery. Whether or not there's going to be a benefit with the addition of the chemotherapy strategy on top of that surgical benefit has yet to be determined. But what we're finding is that the events are very extended. So it may be a few more years before I can report on the surgical question.